So, folks, the universe just doesn't add up. It's not a news story. For decades, scientists have understood that everything that we can see in the universe doesn't add up to all the matter that must be there based on our observations of how much gravity must be out there and the motions of the visible universe. At least 25% of the universe is composed of something called dark matter. Right, dark matter. You just can't see it, right? Okay. So we have to take scientists' word for it that dark matter is actually out there. But scientists actually can't take other scientists' word for dark matter. They actually have to go and find it. And there could be a huge discovery on the order of finding dark matter. Maybe the biggest cosmological mystery might be solved in our time. And joining us to talk about it is Brian Green, professor of mathematics and physics at Columbia University, author, our favorite cosmologist here at The Takeaway. Dr. Green, are we on the verge of discovering dark matter, and would we know it when we see it?
It's a real possibility. There's some interesting new data that is just coming to light. It could well point toward the discovery of dark matter, but it's very tentative. Great discoveries require fantastically convincing evidence. This may be the first step in that direction.
Well, describe the experiments that are getting us close.
Well, there's one in particular. It's a balloon-borne experiment floating over Antarctica, and it is taking data from the heavens, from the sky, and they're seeing too many of a certain kind of particle called electrons. Too many, and they have to explain the source. And the source could be dark matter particles floating out there in space, colliding with one another, annihilating in a little burst that gives rise to these particles that they're seeing in the balloon. That's one possible explanation.
Why is the balloon in Antarctica again?
Well, we want you want away from civilization. You want it above the atmosphere. You want to eliminate all other sources of contamination. That's a very good place to do that.
Okay. Let's go to the beginning here. What is dark matter? Why do you call it dark matter? And if you can't see it, how do you know it's out there?
Well, that's a great series of questions. And the answer is basically this. When we, as John was saying, look out into the sky with very powerful telescopes, we see the visible matter, stars and galaxies moving. And the visible stuff is moving so quickly that it should all fly apart, much like water. If you picture water on a bicycle wheel as it's spinning, the water flies off if the wheel spins too fast. That should be happening to the stars and galaxies, but it's not. Therefore, there must be something exerting more gravity than the stuff we can see. Stuff that exerts gravity but doesn't give off light, therefore it's dark. Dark matter. And when you calculate how much should be out there, as John was saying, it should be about 25% of the mass of the universe.
Is there any other conceivable explanation for why the universe sticks together other than gravity from stuff we can't see?
Yes. When you come to mysteries, people always come up with alternate explanations. Maybe gravity doesn't behave the way we think it does. Maybe out there in space it has slightly different strength or different properties. People have put forward these explanations. None of them, though, are anywhere near as convincing as the elegance and the power of this notion of dark matter.
Well, hey, yeah, right. Stuff you can't see that solves the whole problem. Yeah, I love that kind of thing. Now, there's not only dark matter, there's dark energy. What's that?
Dark energy is another dark species. Again, it's dark, doesn't give off light. This is energy that would suffuse space in a very uniform way, not little particles that are out there floating. And we've come to the recognition that there should be dark energy by studying how fast the universe is expanding. Mm-hmm. We have found...
How fast is that?
Well, it's faster than we thought. And we had thought previously that the universe is expanding. We learned that back in the 1920s. But we thought it'd be slowing down in its expansion. Like when you throw a ball up in the air, it goes up slower and slower because ordinary gravity pulls it back. When we have now measured the rate of expansion, it's not slowing down like that ball. It's speeding up. It's going faster and faster. It's like you throw the ball up in the air and it goes up faster and faster. If that were to happen, you'd know there must be something pushing out, not just gravity pulling in. There must be an anti-gravity out there, and this dark energy, according to Einstein himself, can give rise to this anti-gravity.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the Antarctic experiment for a moment. I mean, what could be really startling about this is that the count of electrons, the oversupply of electrons that would normally be predicted, gives you the suspicion that dark matter must be producing the electrons. How could that be happening again?
Well,
what happens is,
so you have the dark matter particles floating out there,
right.
And every so often they bang into one another.
Okay.
When they find each other, they annihilate. And when they annihilate, the end product can be these little electrons.
And dark matter, then, is atoms and particles like we know of. It's just that they have such low energy that we can't really see them or
almost
detect them.
Though the one thing I would stress is we've learned that the dark matter can't be made of the stuff we're made of. It can't be made of protons, neutrons, and electrons.
I see.
That runs afoul of other observations and other understandings of how the universe evolved.
So it's got to be quarks.
No, even more exotic. Even more exotic than that. So any particle that you've probably heard of, it can't actually be the dark matter. That's why it's so exciting. We're trying to put our finger on a new species of particle that probably makes up at least 25% of the universe.
But how do you investigate that? What kind of tools that do you use in looking for something that you've never seen before?
Well, that's a challenge. And that's why these experimenters get paid a lot of big bucks. You know, they come up with these very refined observational tools, put them either on a rocket or on a balloon, and observe particles that slam into these detectors. And based upon how the particle excites the detector, you can figure out how much the particle weighs, whether it has electric charge, whether it doesn't, and its other properties.
What are you going to do with all these big bucks that they gave you to do the experiment? All right, now watch this, Adara, okay? All right, watch this. Okay, Dr. Green, if the experiment confirms the existence of dark matter and we observe it, complete this sentence. Now that we've found the dark matter in the universe, we know blank.
We know what the universe is largely made of. I mean, a question that the Greeks asked 2,500 years ago is, what is stuff made of? We've been struggling with that question ever since. We've come to the strange conclusion that the stuff we know about, chairs and table and people and stars, is made up of different material than the bulk of what's out there. We want to figure out what the bulk is made of.
He's pretty good.
I know. He's excellent.
Yeah.
It's
so
riveting.
Is it the end of physics, though? Is it one of those like unified field theory things where Einstein was trying to unite all of the forces and sort of end the matter of physics? Or is it going to open more doors?
It'll clearly open more doors, because once we know what's out there, we can try to produce it perhaps in the laboratory, study it under idealized conditions. And this will then back react on our theories, like the unified theories that we're searching for, allowing us to refine them, eliminate some possibilities perhaps. So it's a real exciting prospect. But let me just emphasize, we don't know that this is the discovery of dark matter. It might be. It could be something more prosaic, maybe a pulsar that's giving off these electrons. So
boring old pulsars. I just hate that.
But there are actually a confluence experiments, the one in Antarctica. There's a satellite called PAMELA that's also seeing this excess of electrons. So it's coming from a variety of sources, so maybe it's real.
How excited is your child about the discovery of dark matter?
He's riveted by the possibility. 3.5 years old, and just ask me every day, what's the dark matter made of?
Do we know yet? Yeah, a 3-year-old's idea of dark matter is very, very different, I suspect. Brian Green, thank you so much for joining us. Brian Green is professor of mathematics and physics at Columbia University and author of numerous books on cosmology and what the Earth and the universe is all made of. Thanks for joining us,
Thank
Brian.
You.
Thank you so much. We're always on here at The Takeaway, and just crossing the wires right now, President Bush has just signed an extension of unemployment benefits that will add an additional 13 weeks in those states that have been particularly hard hit by job losses.
He's done it, and he was potentially threatening a veto on that.
No more.
That's right.
It's law.
You've got your next 13 weeks, folks, if you're out of a job. We're asking for your stories and tips of how to get out of debt, and we've heard some great ones already. It's all part of our week-long series on debt in America. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And we've got a special event on the website coming
up. Yeah, we do. Elvin Hall, a financial consultant and author, is answering your questions about getting out of debt. And you can send those questions now and return to our website live for a live Q&A. That's today at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you getting out of debt? Are you escaping this crazy economy? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You want to see Twilight over the weekend? You know, half the rest of the world is. I'm John Huckenberry.
I think you're going to see that movie.
No, I'm not, actually. No. Teenage vampires do not interest me.
I'm Adora Udoji. It's Friday, and it's The Takeaway.
Now, my 10-year-olds, that's a different story.